Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Thursday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB, and we are looking back at Wednesday. It's all about the national leadership yesterday. I'm not quite sure how this story ended up being a story, but it was. Everybody wanted to talk about it, even though nothing actually happened. And then Kate Hawksby wanted to talk about Meghan Markle. She's really got it in for her. Well, one of the people who was supposed to be in trouble was Paula Bennett. Let's see what she thought about it all.
Not a nice set of headlines to wake up to today. Reports that your colleagues don't want you as deputy leader and that you hold some responsibility, I guess, for National not being in government. What have those colleagues been telling you?
Well, I must say, when I woke up this morning and read the story, I did have a wee chuckle to myself, and I thought if I'd overreacted every time Barry Soper had my rise or demise, then I'd have been a basket case by now. So that's the role of politics. Look, I've just had tremendous support from my colleagues. We're pretty much concentrated on our job in opposition and holding this government to account rather than ourselves, and so haven't been too concerned, I've got to say, about it.
Right, so you believe it's just gossip, there's no substance?
Oh, look, absolutely. I mean, this is politics and all the rest of it, and it's pretty robust, but wouldn't surprise me if I'm pretty much known for speaking my mind at times. So, but it certainly didn't seem to me, and certainly none of the indications I've had from my colleagues is that they're unhappy with the job I'm doing for them as their deputy leader.
Even Bill English said today, talk about leadership is inevitable in any caucus, so it must happen at some level, I guess.
Oh, look, we've just got this great bunch of ambitious people too. You know, like you don't go into politics to sit on the back bench for your career and hope you've made a difference. You go in there to because you're ambitious, because you want something more for New Zealand, and you think you're the person that can deliver that. Otherwise, yeah, if you've got that kind of ego, you're probably not in the right job.
Yeah, so not quite. I mean, Barry Soper seemed to have information that there was going to be some kind of leadership shuffle around. And, you know, Layton had his views.
National didn't lose the election. They didn't. Well, you can argue this quite satisfactorily. They did not lose the election. It was corrupted in a way that they didn't win what they should have. I mean, it's an approach, and you've got to have you've got to be able to accept that there are different spins on things. I argued when the election result was known, and they were going through the government forming process. I pointed out to people that the MMP, there's no rules. It can work any way that the players want it to work. Whoever's got the power, and this is the absurdity of it, when someone with 7% has the power, it's ridiculous. And then when that someone with 7% becomes prime minister, almost immediately, not quite, but almost immediately, it's on the cards, it's listed to happen, then that makes it even more stupid. Seriously. So the party that won the most votes, easily won the most votes, is the opposition party. Now, again, I'm not interested in entering into a debate over that. I'm just pointing out some of the anomalies at this particular point because we keep rolling them out. So, question, should National regroup and replace the leadership? And if they're going to, and this was my first question, well, who the hell do you think is appropriate?
So, yeah, we need a really fine-tuned political mind to answer a question like that and to talk about political leadership generally. So we'll go straight to Marcus Lush on that, I think.
Marcus, Joyce, Collins, Smith, Bennett, Bridges, Coleman, new younger faces needed. Old guard has to go. Amy Adams for the leader. Someone said, if I was stuck in left with Judith Collins, Simon Bridges and a gun with only one bullet, I'd shoot myself. Marcus, if the people of this country vote for a political leader party because she's has a cute baby, I think they need a lesson in why we vote for the people and the political party we want to run the country. Now, I think you probably need the lesson. People vote for people that they like and that have some sort of accessibility and relatability. And that's really, really an important thing to consider. And I don't quite know how to quantify what that thing is that people need, but if you haven't got it, you're not in the running. I don't know if it's X Factor. I don't know if it's charisma. I think it's just an ability to, when someone throws questions at you with a TV camera, you look relaxed and can answer them. Jacinda Ardern is extremely good on camera. If she wasn't working in government, she'd be a TV presenter. She's extremely good. John Key was good also. And I think they're both quite similar in some ways. Their ability to actually almost do jujitsu when it comes to interviews. That they can do all sorts of stuff, but they just have a capacity to actually talk in full sentences and engage. And it's quite a rare thing. Because often with politicians, when they're interviewed, they just go into rote stuff and instantly you disengage. Mike Moore, dreadful at it. Bill English, not fantastic at it. But if you can actually find yourself listening to what you've got to say or what they've got to say, that's a very special skill. And not all of them have it.
Yeah, sometimes Bill English gives me the impression that he's not interested, that interested even in what he's saying. Like, he's not even interested, let alone everybody else interested in what he's saying. I mean, that happens to me all the time. I'm quite often not interested in what I have to say. Quite interested in what this next guy has to say about using medicinal marijuana.
I'm terminally ill, but I'm happy and I'm doing quite well.
What's wrong?
Well, I got a brainstem. I got diagnosed with a brainstem cancer about a year and a month ago, and I was given a year to live. And they did a biopsy, and they said there was nothing they could do by operation to remove it. It's all wrapped around my brain's spinal cord. But and they gave me less than a year to live. So now I took it on myself to track down a dispenser of some product of cannabis, and I've been taking it every day to the what they say, and the tumour hasn't grown at all. In a year, and it's supposed to have killed me.
Well, first of all, Greg, two things. I had a friend, Mike Francis, who actually passed away from spinal cancer. Cancer around the bone and certainly around the spinal cord, I understand, is very painful. Is your condition painful?
Yes, well, it was. It was painful when I went to hospital and they gave me morphine, and to combat the morphine meant side effects, they gave me anti-nausea pills, and then they gave me anti-constipation pills. And so I was taking 20 pills a day. I still got so constipated that I just about died. Got home, took one dosage of this cannabis, and that was it. No more, nothing. No medication at all except cannabis. No painkillers.
Wow.
No anti-nausea. No anti-constipation. It's just one drug, and that's it. And you don't have to take much of it. It doesn't actually get you. You don't feel the psychoactive effects. Because you're sick, it's just an amazing medicine.
So it hasn't really mitigated the tumour itself, but it has mitigated your pain, taking you off the cocktail of drugs, and you're feeling great.
Yeah, he'd have to be one of the more upbeat dying people that we've had on here. That's for sure. I guess that's good news. Kate Hawkesby is off to London in a couple of months to watch Meghan Markle marry a prince, but she's not really happy about it, I don't think. That seems like one step even further than first world problems, like zero world problems.
The messy bun hairdo, the haute couture outfits, and this latest piece of news that she may again break royal tradition and give a speech at the wedding. Never been done before. Sure, I admire her gung-ho approach, but this is the royal family, an ancient institution steeped in tradition and history. And yes, that is a good reason for her to go in and try and shake it up a bit, but it's the monarchy, for goodness sake. Not a teenage school project. What's the one thing your mum always tells you when you go into a new relationship? Don't go in believing you can change the person. Meghan, she's going in thinking she can change more than 1,000 years of history. Which brings us to Harry. He's smitten. He's infatuated. infatuation is not love. He's also extremely impressed that after the shy, mute blondes he's previously trotted out, who looked more like they cared for their pims and dry than Sharon from Sussex waving on the sideline, he's found in Megan a partner who loves a camera and a microphone and a few selfies. This is extremely rare in royal circles. Here's someone who likes to be on show doing what she does best, acting, because that's what it is. She's acting. It's not real. I'm not sure how much of this is because I just didn't, to be honest, like her character in Suits at all, put me off her. I'm not going to say I'm never changing my mind, because we are off to the royal wedding in May to broadcast this show from there. And I may well find myself whipped up into Megan mania, who knows? But all I know for now is that I am deeply suspicious.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I've gone off her a bit, because I don't actually know what season of Suits that I'm up to. I've sort of been working through them, and she's sort of revealed herself to be a bit of a cheating whore. Not her, but her character, if you see what I mean. So I get how that could turn you off her a bit. Kate got quite a lot of hate over the fact that she's still going to cover that whole wedding thing, even though she's not a fan of hers. I can't really judge, because I'm off on a junket today. I'm going to go to Sydney for a phone launch. That seems over the top, doesn't it? But there won't be a News Talk ZB tomorrow. Sorry about that. But I'll be back here for a weekend version on Monday. Don't you worry about that.